Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitch. We start, as always, with the headlines you need to know. Chicago State men's basketball team will not travel for two regularly scheduled WAC games this week, and the women's team will not host two games, the school said late Tuesday, citing the spread of coronavirus. The cancellations are believed to be the first by a major sport in the U.S. due to the virus. At this point, Chicago said, quote, Chicago State Athletics views our decision as a reaffirmation of our commitment to the well-being, health, and safety of our student athletes. That's according to their athletic director. Next up on the headlines, Duncan's debut in a different way. Tim Duncan got his first victory as an acting head coach Tuesday, filling in for Pop for the Spurs. They win 104-103 over the Charlotte Hornets. Popovich missed a game while dealing with, quote, personal business. According to the team, he is expected to return to the bench Friday for the game against the Nets. The team wouldn't say if he made the trip to Charlotte. In Duncan's style, though, he did make sure to point out, quote, it's night and day to be in the big boy chair, but truth be told, I wasn't in the big boy chair. We've got Becky, Will, Mitch. Mitch prepped the game for us. Becky, Will making all the calls. He's referencing all of the assistant coaches that helped them be great. And lastly, the Boston Red Sox. Still waiting for another medical opinion on Chris Sale's injured elbow before they make a decision on the ace pitcher's status. Remember, they've already had a couple of looks at it. They're going to get the third one. The Red Sox said, quote, they need to get this right. We want as many options as we can. So he underwent the MRI on Tuesday after experiencing some elbow soreness following his first live batting practice session. Those are the headlines you need, and that's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. A lot of conversation today during First Take about Anthony Davis and whether or not he's being appropriately rated at this point. Are we underappreciating him? So we've opened that spectrum up to everybody. We want to know who the most underappreciated athlete is in all of sports. The guy we're not paying enough attention to, or girl that we're not paying attention to enough in all of sports. At Jason Fitch, you can tweet me there. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation. You can also just watch these underappreciated athletes with Vivid Seats. Download the Vivid Seats app, enter promo code ESPN25 at checkout. Get you 10% off your next order. Don't buy just any seat. Get a Vivid Seat. We'll get some of your take coming as we get to the First Take reaction to the underappreciation of Anthony Davis. But before we get there, all eyes continue to be on the drama happening around the New York Knicks. Nothing to do with what's happening on the court. Not much drama there. But there is drama to what's happening on the court with celebrities and former players. Remember that we were talking about yesterday, Spike Lee was asked to leave the arena, enter the arena, I should say, through a different entrance. Instead of coming in through the employee elevator, he's forced to go in through the VIP entrance. That caused Spike Lee to react in the moment. Obviously, he went on First Take to do that. And we've now got reaction to that reaction from Charles Oakley, Knicks great, who was on Golic and Wingo this morning. Check it all out.
I've been coming through this entrance for 28 years. If they change the thing, let me know.
Why do you think the policy changed, at least towards you?
I'm being harassed by James Dolan. I don't know why.
You just said you're being harassed?
Yes. Are you going back to a Knicks game this year?
Not this year.
Are you concerned?
No, I'm coming back next year, but I'm done for the season. I'm done.
It's a plantation over there. It's bad. People won't talk about it. It's real bad over there. This man been buying tickets for 28 years, over $10 million, and you question him out if he come this door, that door. What is this man's problem about control? He's so much of a control freak. And he's hurting the whole NBA.
James Dolan's not selling the team. I mean, he's made that very clear. He's not selling the team.
But Don Sterling didn't sell his team either. Until NBA came in and did something.
Those are strong words from Charles Oakley this morning on Golic and Wingo regarding James Dolan and the Knicks, all in response to Spike Lee yesterday on First Take, which leads us now to today's conversation as Stephen A. and Max have the debate of how the Knicks look right now given all of this controversy.
It's embarrassing and it's disgraceful. I'm going to do my job, but I haven't been to a Knicks game all season long because they just depressed me.
Because why would you?
They just depressed me. There's nothing going on there. And to be quite honest with you, I'm on the verge of not going there again myself. It's just hard to watch what's transpiring. You know, when Charles Oakley got into his situation with James Dolan, Charles Oakley swears to me he never said a word to James Dolan. Spike Lee. After I spoke to him in the aftermath of the Knicks issuing their statement yesterday, Spike Lee said, I swear on the soul of my mother. That is not true. They never informed me. They never told me anything. And Spike Lee, I will remind you, has been a season ticket holder for decades. He spends $3,400 per game, $300,000 per year. As you said, take into account inflation and what have you, he has spent in excess of $10 million on tickets for the New York Knicks over the past couple of decades. He has never been accused of being a liar, okay? And here we are. The New York Knicks put out this statement. Where's proof that you sent him the email stating that you know what you were changing where the entrance was? Where's the email? Where's the letter? Where's the voicemail? You've provided no proof whatsoever that he's lying, but you're calling him a liar. Now, this is what happens. This is what you can get away with when people in New York continue to patronize your product, which is what Max has brought up on many, many occasions. Because when you know folks are going to be suckers and they're going to continue to go to Madison Square Garden and buy tickets to go watch your team play and you're still going to be valued at nearly $5 billion, you can get away with the kind of nonsense that they get away from. James, no other owner in basketball would have issued that statement yesterday. Nobody. Nobody would have done it. You see rap artists, DJ Khaled and Rick Ross and others. They at Miami Heat games. You don't hear the Miami Heat complaining about them. You see Jack Nicklaus and the Lakers and Denzel and everybody else at Lakers game. You don't hear the Lakers speaking about them in anything other than raving fashion. Only in New York with James Dolan is this happening. And I have been one that has tried to refrain from calling this. I'm like, he's an owner, he cuts the check, other people got to do their job. But the fact that Knicks, from a PR perspective, it ain't them, it's him. It's coming straight from the top. He's ordering this stuff to happen. The fact that they engage in such paranoia to insulate or protect themselves from the shrapnel of criticism that will come their way shows they're not about winning. They're not about basketball. They're about protecting their image. That's their definition of winning, which is why they stink and why they will continue to stink for years to come unless Dolan grows the hell up. I feel sorry for Leon Rose, your first day on the job, and you got it. And this is what happens.
That's why when Steve Stout comes here, respect to Steve Stout, but or Leon Rose takes the job. My point is, you can come in with the best of intentions. Dolan's going to mess it up. I don't even think the Miami Heat. I'm sure the Miami Heat did not exist when Spike Lee started buying his tickets.
No, they did not.
They didn't exist. Won three championships since then. They gave you.
Well, that's because of Pat Riley.
They gave you Shaq and D Wade. They gave you
because of Pat Riley
and Wade and Bosh. Right. So when DJ Khaled or whoever is upping Miami, repping the Heat. Like, there's something to rep there. When Jack Nicholson goes to Lakers games, since the Buss family owned the Lakers, they won 10 championships. They've been in the finals countless times. I mean, you can count it, but it goes up high. The Knicks have zero in that time. Most seasons, they don't win the playoffs.
They've been to two finals, but not with
Dolan. In those times, been to two losses. Since Jim Dolan took over, nothing. Usually, they're a laughingstock, either the worst team in the league or one of the worst teams in the league. And Spike's been there through thick and thin, not only repping the team, paying millions of dollars to sit courtside and rep the team. Now, Charles Oakley said he should sell the team. And I think it was Trey who said, Trey Wingo said he's not going to sell the team. And Charles Oakley brought up Donald Sterling. I think it's a good point. What Donald Sterling did probably doesn't rise to the level of being forced to sell a team. It was racist. It was despicable. But it was a private conversation that was taped without his knowledge, recorded right. without his knowledge. Adam Silver used it as an excuse to get rid of a bad apple. The league didn't want Donald Sterling there. He played it cheap, you know, at a time where other owners would spend money. And it was a good reason to get rid of a guy who they tried, who they should have gotten rid of a long time ago. All I'm saying is this. Jim Dolan's bad for the NBA. The number one market in the country, the Heritage brand, is almost always a laughingstock. That mm-hmm. alienates fans, mm-hmm. actually, from the NBA. It doesn't grow the sport. Mm-hmm. I think Adam Silver should be looking for a reason to get rid of this bad apple.
Adam Silver and the NBA would never admit this, but I happen to be somebody that's covered the league for 25 years. I can tell you this. Everybody in the NBA, we're at a point right now, everybody in the NBA would be happy if James Dolan were gone. It's just that simple. There's no other way to slice it. But here's the reason. You gotta make sure that you distinguish the difference between the Sterling situation and this. What people don't recognize is that privately, LeBron James, Chris Paul, and these boys, they were ready to boycott. They were ready to boycott the NBA playoffs if something was not done about Donald Sterling. So that didn't put Adam Silver in much of a position of choice. In this case, you understand that the Spike Lee situation, maybe the Charles Oakley, if Charles Oakley was a present day player and that happened, it would have been different. But him being retired and stuff like that, I don't know
if you
can pull that off.
Stephen A., Dolan, as much criticism I give him, he's not as bad as Sterling. Like, Sterling, good riddance.
That is correct.
But
he does a lot. Dolan actually does a lot for a lot of black dudes.
By the way,
he really does.
People have good qualities, even when they're bad. He inherited a team. He has a lot of power, and it's corrupted him, I suppose. I'm not saying there he has no redeeming qualities, but he's bad for the NBA. And the fact that Leon Rose takes over and Steve Stout, and hey guys, give us a new chance. We're turning the page for the umpteenth time, right? Clean slate, and they win a home game. And that is not the headline because they treat their number one super fan like that.
Are we really having this conversation to this level? It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save pay an average of $796 less per year. This is what I'm lost on. I mean, look at the attendance so far for 2020. The Knicks are 10th in the NBA in overall attendance. They're averaging 95.3% attendance. 95% of that place is full. You don't get to tell a restaurant that they have to sell when you go and the service is bad. That's not your right as a consumer. Your right as a consumer is to stop supporting a business. Your right as a consumer is not to insist that that business be sold. In fact, if you go to a fast food restaurant and you don't like how that particular franchise is run, you don't then get to turn around and go to the name on the fast food place and say, oh, sell the franchise. That's not your option. You don't get to tell an owner, I'm a fan of a terrible football team. I have lived through bad owners and I know how frustrating it is, but you don't get to go to a business and insist that they sell somebody. That's maddening that they sell a team. You don't get to go in and say, hey, just rip the team away, because I'll ask you, Max and Stephen A. and everybody that's involved in this conversation, who becomes the judge and jury? How many years do you have to be bad? Hornets fans aren't happy right now. Do they need to sell? I mean, the Lions have been bad forever. Make them sell the team. The Browns, bad. Sell them. When do we put the line? Where do we put the line? And what right do you have to put that line down? The one place that fans have the ability to affect change is to have the strength not to spend their own money, but you refuse to do it, and then you blame the owner. Man, you want to fix the Knicks? Stop spending money on the Knicks. Spike Lee, you want to fix the Knicks? Stop spending money on the Knicks. It's that simple. Oh, we're all looking for somebody else to fix this problem. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you who the most underappreciated athlete is in all of sports, all right? There's a lot of conversation today about the NBA, as always on First Take. One of those conversations about Anthony Davis not being appreciated enough makes us think, man, you look across the entire spectrum, male, female. I mean, we keep talking about the greatness of some of the NBA, WNBA athletes, some of the greatness of some of the college women's basketball athletes, male, female. I'm talking across the spectrum of sports, who's the most underappreciated athlete anywhere. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me, at Jason Fitz. But once you get in on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, you can join us in the conversation. You know, speaking of all that disappointment in a franchise, you never have disappointment when you wake up to double the good stuff in the mornings and get out, get more out of breakfast. Start your day with 2 for $4 breakfast sandwiches only at McDonald's during breakfast hours. Price of participation vary. My God, every time I talk about that, it just makes me want an Egg McMuffin. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. All right. So there was another NBA topic going on today on First Take. Zion Williamson, obviously last night, scored 25 in a home loss to Minnesota. But now you're looking at Zion in the second half of a back-to-back. We have all eyes on every single nuance of Zion because, let's face it, he hasn't played as many games as Ja. So we're looking at every tiny detail as some sort of a big indicator. So ESPN basketball analyst Jay Williams joined, obviously, Max and Stephen A. to look with New Orleans, Dallas tonight, 9:30 at ESPN, on ESPN, and all eyes on Zion and Luka. How concerned should we be about Zion playing tonight on the second half of a back-to-back?
The man's played 16 games. 16 games. 16 games. Okay, how many games do they have left? About 20? 22 games? All right, so he ain't going to even reach 40 games. Damn it, I mean, his first year in the NBA, which he's getting paid for, it's like a college season at Duke. Give a damn about no back-to-back. You're 19 years old. 19 years old. Okay? 19 years old, getting paid, ain't playing for free. All right, figure it out.
Oh, just a string.
Especially since you're trying to make the playoffs. Now, if you're not trying to make the playoffs, or like we said about Steph Curry, with Steph Curry, Max, I mean, why the hell bring him back? Now, it's not that. Steph Curry's a three-time champion. He's a two-time league MVP. He went to 5 straight NBA finals. Damn it, and he's injured. Excuse me, I got to protect my future investment because he already got $200 million coming to him. I don't need him getting hurt again for some meaningless regular season game. All right, but Zion just got here. Your baby. You just got here, and you missed all of these games. Look, back-to-back, don't practice then. Let him sit down during practice. I think everybody needs to practice right now when you're that young, but damn it, sit him down with practice. But those guys, oh, by the way, he only averaged 29 minutes a game.
Jay, where are you?
What's the problem?
Did you just say everyone and compare everyone at 19 to Zion Williamson?
No, I'm talking about responsibility.
I know, but you were saying as it relates to practicing, right? Take it there. Well, I'm just saying, everyone is not a guy who weighs 285 pounds.
Okay.
I've heard you say that multiple times. You cannot teach 285 pounds. So those are not the words of Stephen A. Smith.
That's what those are. Okay. Those are my words.
Let's talk this through, Stephen A. The question is, are you concerned? Max, I'm always on the show. I usually disagree with you. I don't disagree with him, but I disagree with him vehemently right now. How many times has he gotten injured in the past 3 years?
Three?
Four.
It's four. I counted three.
Okay. Injury prone.
Sure.
285 pounds.
Right.
He played 33 minutes last night. Mm-hmm. We went back and we watched tape last night. He was getting beat defensively time after time after time again. Mm-hmm. You've seen him going to sideline. They're rubbing his knee. They're taking off the band.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I'm just saying, multiple times now.
I didn't see that.
Not multiple times, but I'm saying this has happened over the course of the last 4 or 5 games.
Okay.
You have to think about that. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying he shouldn't play tonight, but these are questions. You're always going to have concerns about Zion.
Should he play?
I don't know if he should tonight.
What would you, as a coach, what would you decide? I'd sit him.
Minutes restriction or I would sit him.
Hey, I have no.
And I understand that you're saying about the playoff race, but I'm thinking about, I want this guy for the next 5 or 6
years.
I have
no problem.
I'm not worried about making the playoffs right now.
Just for the record, I have no problem with the minutes restrictions. And also, I don't even think it should be about minutes. I think as a coach, you put him out there and you're watching. Okay, I don't like how he's looking right now. Sit down. I got no problems with that. But I'm just going to walk into the game in the middle of a playoff race
with my guy that's averaging 24-7?
Not exactly a race. They're like, what, four games back now?
You know what happened last night? Right. The pace of the game was 117 last night when he was on the court.
He was getting turned around.
Fastest. And you know where he got attacked? In PNRs, defensively, each and every possession. So when he gets tired, that's when you become injury prone.
Okay. Especially since he hustled.
That's what
he was putting in energy on defense. He was just getting beat because he looked tired.
I'm always concerned about that with that weight and the tire because the conditioning is not all the
way there. I want to answer all your thing. You said quick one-word responses like, is he getting paid? Yes, right? Are they in a playoff race? Kind of. They're in the hunt still. They haven't given up. All those things are true. I'm not – the playoff thing changes it because it is valuable for a young team to make the playoffs and get that experience. And in a perfect world, that's what would – so it's not an easy decision. That's what I mean. It's a hard decision. That's when discipline comes in. When it's hard, not when it's an easy decision. I'd make myself a Pelicans fan. That's what I do to think, like, what would I want to happen? If I'm a Pelicans fan, what's more important? We're four games out. I want Zion against Doncic as an NBA fan. As a Pelicans fan, I want to try and win the game. Hold on a second. This could be a championship nucleus. And not only that, they only got 6 years on the outside to make it work. Then Zion's going to ask out of town. So over the, is this game more important than maximizing my chances over the next couple of years with a young Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Zion, cap space? Nah, man. I want this dude healthy.
Hey, man, I'm not knocking you for your position because I don't think it's a position to be knocked, to be quite honest with you. I respect where you're coming from. I just respectfully disagree. And I'm going to go to you as a former player because this is what bothers me about former players that take this position. You see, when this dude that was this lethal All-American, scoring machine, national champion, coming out of Duke, ended up being the number two overall pick. You see, what I remember is that that guy, that age, along with the ages that preceded that, didn't have the luxury of taking such positions. I remember y'all having to get on the court and accept the fact that, excuse me, there's a responsibility that comes along with it. I got to manage my way around it. Now, it doesn't mean that you hustle up and down the court every possession. It doesn't mean that you don't manage yourself to some degree. It doesn't mean that a minutes restriction doesn't get employed. We saw Michael Jordan go through that. There were times when Michael Jordan once went to Phil Jackson and was like, I'm really tired. I'm really exhausted tonight. Phil Jackson said, I got you. I'll get you out of there. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to go on the court and wreak havoc for the first quarter. I'll rest you the rest of the night. Michael Jordan dropped like 20 or 22 in the first quarter, and then he was off for the rest of the night. What I'm saying
is Jordan's from Krypton.
But I'm just using it as an example to highlight that there are ways to work around things as opposed to having the kind of mentality you endorse. And my issue with it is that you and people before you were never allowed to think like that. Why should today's player, with all of this money, be allowed to be like that?
Because I was not 285 pounds. I was 100.
Here we go.
Stephen A. Smith.
Here we go.
Stephen A. Smith.
So he's only 280 pounder that was in the NBA before?
At 6'6", yes, he is.
Excuse me, how much did Barkley weigh?
Barkley was not 285 pounds.
Really? I thought, I'm sorry, that might be wrong.
I thought
Barkley was 300. Hold on. I'm looking it up. I'm willing to bet y'all Barkley was at least 280. The round man of rebound. Look, I'm looking at it. I'm trying to tell y'all, Charles Barkley. What? I'm going to be right. Barkley?
Malone was like 260.
Barkley's my brother. Barkley's my brother. I love you. But
that's going to hurt his feelings.
They just told me he was 252. I thought he was about 282.
I'm not going to body shame Charles Barkley either way you want to look at it, because I am much littler than that. All right, don't forget tonight, New Orleans, Dallas, 9:30. Hopefully we get Zion, Luka going at it on ESPN. You do not want to miss it. We're going to keep taking your thoughts on the most underappreciated athlete, getting a lot of you guys to chime in. But next, there's a spot where Tom Brady could go and win a Super Bowl, and there's actually a viable way that he gets there. You'll hear what the committee had to say, the panel had to say about it. We'll do that. But first, you want a more beautiful lawn this season, right? We all do. The Home Depot has a few suggestions in just one bag. That's Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action. Starts at just $26.68. Feeds your lawn, weeds your lawn, and it prevents fire ants for up to 6 months. Three of the most common lawn problems, all with one great solution. It's a good time to be a doer at the Home Depot. Visit homedepot.com/outdoors for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Where could Brady go be a doer and get a Super Bowl done? You'll hear a surprising answer next. First Take Your Take. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. What we're asking you, who's the most underappreciated athlete in all of sports? You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. Got a bunch of guys hanging on, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, with a lot of different answers to this one. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Getting a lot of votes on Twitter for Mike Trout, so that's a good one. But don't just tell me Trout, tell me why. We've got some good ones here, too, explaining some people I hadn't thought of. We'll read some of those in a moment. Question is, maybe, are we underappreciating Tom Brady? Is that even possible? I mean, at this point, everybody's got all eyes on where Brady's going next. However, through all of it, there's at least a surprising connection of the dots that could lead Tom Brady to the San Francisco 49ers. It's a report we've heard a couple of times. It's been brought up again. So ESPN Get Up host Mike Greenberg joined Max and Stephen A. to debate if Brady gives the Niners the best chance to actually win it all next season.
For just next season, yes, I think Tom Brady is a better option. I have been on the record stating religiously that I think that Tom Brady got a bad rap last year. Was there some fall off? Absolutely. But I think that has a lot to do with the talent that is around you. Yes, he's 42 years of age. So you would think if he's 42 years of age, you wouldn't ask him to be bereft of the weapons that he did not have available to him. But that's exactly what Bill Belichick asked him to do. His second leading receiver was James White. Tight ends were non-existent. Your receivers were virtually non-existent. Obviously, Josh Gordon going, you know, getting, you know, messing up, and then going to Seattle, and then we found out he still got some issues. Antonio Brown, we don't need to revisit that situation, et cetera, et cetera. When I look at the San Francisco 49ers, I will remind everybody that the NFC Championship game, although it was relatively lopsided because Green Bay got blitzed, Mostert ran for 220 yards, if I remember correctly. I think that game, Jimmy Garoppolo threw eight passes.
Yeah.
Eight passes. Okay. Yeah. And then when you look at the play calling of Kyle Shanahan, clearly it was risk averse because this dude who threw 13 interceptions on a season was prone to make mistakes. Jimmy G never deserved a damn nickname, Jimmy G, unless you want to go by my name, porn star Jimmy, because he certainly earned that. He certainly earned that. Okay. But the bottom line is he good? Yeah. But we haven't seen greatness as far as I'm concerned. I'm not sold on him. And I believe that Tom Brady would be more protective of the football. I know he would utilize George Kittle more effectively. Deebo Samuel, you know I'm a huge fan of Deebo Samuel, Max. I'm sold on that, brother. I'm sorry. You put Tom Brady surrounded with some players for one season, even at the age of 43, I think he's a better option than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy G was better than Tom Brady last year. That's why Bill Belichick wanted to make the transition. Jimmy G will be a little more better than Tom Brady next year because he's in his prime, and Tom Brady's in much steeper decline than people realize. Let me tell you what a rising fastball is in baseball. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing because gravity takes the ball down. But hitters swear it's rising. The reason is the spin on the ball means it's not declining at the rate you anticipate. So it makes it feel like it's when something goes against your anticipation. Brady for a while was not declining at the rate people anticipated. So they believed he was actually rising, or at least it would never decline. He has been in precipitous decline the last 2 years, year over year. Before this season, you could go back and look at all the real stats, yards per attempt, and the every single stat you want to know where it says what's underneath it. Like, is this guy getting better or worse? He was getting much worse. This year was worse than last year. So the whole idea that he didn't have weapons.
And here's the numbers comparing him versus Garoppolo.
Yeah, and by the way, Garoppolo was not great, although 2-0 with the Patriots, 5-0 with the Niners, 13 wins with the Niners. By the way, Niners couldn't buy a win without Garoppolo. And then, I know he wasn't great in the Super Bowl when they needed him most. He had a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter. You want to swap that guy out for a 43-year-old coming up who's been declining the last two seasons and wasn't as good as this guy last year?
Numbers are comparable. Obviously, Brady has the cerebral advantage.
Yeah, listen, I mean, there is a way in which both of you are right, which is to say, if I were in charge of San Francisco, I wouldn't make the move, but I think they would and will if they can, and here's why. Because the confusion that you pointed out Kyle Shanahan coached the Super Bowl with suggests to me that Shanahan did not trust Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. The complete disparity between, if we're going to take everyone back to that, the way he coached the end of the first half
where he just basically didn't try to score at the end of the first half versus the way he coached the end of the game, where when all he needed to do was try and run out the clock with that running game you were talking about, Stephen A., and instead he had Garoppolo throwing pass after pass, has left Shanahan in a place where now he is viewed as a guy who has blown two Super Bowls. He blew the one with the Falcons because of the way he called plays, and he blew the one last year. And I think he, for his own personal legacy, needs to bring in a guy he believes will close the deal for him. So do I know if Brady gets them back to that fourth quarter with a 10-point lead? I don't. But do I think they win the game if he's their quarterback with a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter? I do.
See, this is the thing that drives me nuts. We act like we've seen, when Max and I completely disagree with this precipitous drop-off on a part of Tom Brady. You got rookie receivers there. I mean, there's a, not Jacoby and Myers, not Jacoby and Myers, the Jacoby and Myers, the law firm. I'm talking about Jacoby Myers, the receiver. Okay, we saw him. We go, what, Lacasse, the tight end? Who did you have available?
He's throwing two people you've never heard of.
N'Keal Harry.
Yeah,
exactly. Here's the reason why it is a problem now, because back in the day, no matter what we want to say, the way that defenses, everything is compromising defenses these days, even though New England's still elite. You got receivers. They could be running wrong routes. They could be dropping passes. They might not know the plays, etc. You look at Tom Brady, and the level of frustration was very, very glaring. Matter of fact, some of the reports came out just a few days ago where a lot of people believed he's playing hardball because he's insistent that the New England Patriots get him some players. Now, Tom Brady is not the kind of guy that's going to come out and say, look, man, this guy can't play. That guy can't play. This guy doesn't have the intellect to play this particular position. He's not going to say stuff like that, but you know he was feeling it. You don't have that issue in San Francisco.
We are weeks away from getting an answer, and until we get an answer, the speculation will continue. We'll keep taking your thoughts on who the most underappreciated athlete is in all of sports, and many of those guys are in baseball, which leads to a question about what's going wrong there. First Take had their thoughts on it. You'll hear it next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed the first hour, while you were hanging out, that's okay. You can check the whole thing out on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with the rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One and a member FDIC. I do want to say I'm wearing a Nashville Strong shirt. Proceeds go to help everybody that was a victim of the tornadoes. I have tweeted a link. You can go check out the link there and where you can support it. Great way. If you've ever seen a country concert, if you've ever supported country music, if you've ever been to Nashville to party, a great way to help the residents there that right now are in a tremendous need and to raise awareness. We've got a link out there that I've tweeted out. So go check it out. And thanks to my guys, Will Compton and Taylor Lewan, for sending me this to hang out with. So we'll get to a little baseball conversation because we're asking you who the most underappreciated athlete is in all the sports. Nashvillian Mookie Betts just got a vote from one of you guys. Also, Mike Trout getting a ton of tweets. Well, part of this is because there's not as much interest in baseball. That's just a fact. So ESPN Major League Baseball analyst Eduardo Perez joined Max and Stephen A. to have a real conversation about how Major League Baseball could improve overall interest in the sport.
In this day and age, do you still feel it should be that way with Major League Baseball? Or do you feel they should adapt to everything the NBA, the NFL, and everybody else has to deal with in terms of catering to society itself to improve its brand?
Yeah. Well, I would love for Major League Baseball and the Players Association to think together in all of this, because the Major League Baseball also has that responsibility of taking care of its brand, and its brand is the players. And we don't see as much as I sit on the couch and I watch all the commercials that the NBA puts out there. They show the personality. They show the humor. Same thing with NFL. I don't see this out of Major League Baseball. I would love to see the stars of the game get promoted. I love to see the up-and-coming players get promoted, not just only the All-Star game, not just during the World Series, but even in the off-season. I think there has to be more of an accessibility factor to all of this and welcoming and bringing in the young generation. And I think that's what we have to target, is the young kids, because there's a lot of distractions. They love their basketball. They love their football. But at the same time, I see a growing trend, especially under the minority aspect of this. I'm not only talking about the African-American side of this. I'm talking about the Latino factor. If we can get everyone together, because 31.5% of the players right now in the big leagues are Latino, over 50% in the minor leagues are Latino, minorities as far as African-American, we need to bring the numbers up. And a way of doing it is by going after those that target audience and using the Latino and African-American influence as best as possible.
You can see the issues in overall interest when we talk about who's underrated. That's what we're asking you right now. The most underappreciated athlete in all of sports, male, female, underappreciated athlete. First Take, Your Take, brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, getting a huge range on Twitter. We'll get to some of those in a second. But I want to go to Cole in Arizona because I love this answer. Cole, who you got as the most underappreciated athlete in all of sports?
Hey, Fitz, thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan of the show.
Thanks, man.
So, sorry to be a homer here, but I'm going to go with my guy Larry Fitzgerald, and just to point out a couple points. I mean, he could have easily have won a Super Bowl or two with the Patriots, and he's only been to the playoffs 4 years out of his 16 seasons with us. And I don't know if you remember those playoff games, but I mean, he aged backwards like Benjamin Button and put huge numbers up, and just, I mean, it was just great in those, in the playoff appearances he was in.
Yeah, and I agree with the call, Cole. Thanks. And it's not Homer at all. I think when you think about Larry Fitzgerald, we talk about him in such glowing terms, but not in the middle of it. It's like he has to be presented to us to be part of the conversation. He's too good for that. Al in Pennsylvania. Al, I'm shook by this answer. Who you got? Most underappreciated athletes in all of sports.
Oh, I figured this would be a way out of the box answer for you. You know, and I'll tell you what, I'm a big fan of the professional bowlers. And all the bowlers on the professional tour of PBA are definitely underappreciated because they are by far the most underpaid athletes of all time compared to what everybody else. They're making millions of dollars playing all these other sports. These guys have to work a whole career, you know.
Al, I love the answer, man. Al, you are... You're shaking me here. The last time I bowled, I think I bowled a 70. Al, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not very good at this. So, you know, I love the answer. We're getting along those same lines. Shireen says Olympic qualifying relay athletes, they may not be in the finals of swimming or running, but if they don't race well, it ends with them. Also, Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt may have less medals because of them. So that's a good generic answer, but we're looking more for specifics. Give me the guy or girl that's underappreciated. Adam and Charlotte, who you got? Who you got, Adam?
And appreciate it for picking up too. I think Carson Wentz of Philadelphia is the most underrated quarterback in the league and one of the most underrated athletes in America and in the world. So
why? What are we not appreciating about him? Well, we lost him. Okay, Adam, we get the Carson Wentz. I understand that debate. He's such a debated figure. If you're a Carson Wentz fan, you certainly feel like he is not getting the appreciation that he deserves. We're getting a ton of baseball. This is a burner account, which, by the way, might be my favorite Twitter handle that's tweeted the show. Says, as a salty Sox fan, Brock Holt is because he's a fan favorite, a good luck charm, and a huge part in the community. Another vote for Russell Wilson. The Seahawks are bottom dwellers without him. That's from Steven. But I like this one from Justin. People don't realize there's a lot. I mean, there are a lot of hockey fans that work at ESPN. So this one's for Hockey Guy, who says, I'd have to go with Ovi. Alex Ovechkin scored 700 goals so far in his career, did it in the second fewest games behind Gretzky, but people don't mention him without mentioning Sidney Crosby just because Crosby has more titles. That's a big just because, though. I'm saying that's a big just because in that conversation. Also, like that dude, Dumb, says Errol Spence Jr., arguably the best pound-for-pound fighter on the planet. We all know that fighters are having a hard time getting that level of exposure. And Brian on this one, Chris Middleton. We keep talking about the Bucks like they don't have a second star. 21 points a game, 6 boards a game, 4 assists per game, shoots 43% from 3 and 91% from free throw, 17th in the league in per. Brian, I love the fact that you're coming out with stats to back it up. That is absolutely great work by you. Brian might be my favorite Twitter of the day, favorite tweeter of the day. We want to keep getting your take on who the most underappreciated athlete is in all of sports. Plus, all of this happens because are we underappreciating Anthony Davis? You'll hear what the panel thought next.